Please turn to Psalm 133. This is the Bible class portion of our worship service. And as most of you know, we have been studying out Psalms. This is week number 10 of this class. The last 3 weeks, we studied out the Lament Psalms. And today we're going to be studying out the Songs of Ascents, which is specifically Psalms 120 through 134. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be here this morning. We are so grateful we get to worship you. You are our Savior, you are our Creator, and yet you desire to have a relationship with us. And we are grateful and we praise you for that. We thank you that we get to study your word. We pray that you will move through this study of Psalms, that you will help us to each and every day and each and every week draw closer to you. We love you. We pray that you bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. This class should have a bit of a happier tone than the laments. I believe we will be inspired and convicted by it, as I was in studying it out. And then after this week, we have 3 more weeks of the study of Psalms. So I hope you've enjoyed it and continue to do so. But let's read Psalm 133. It says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." I used to sing this song growing up in my mom's church. I didn't get it. I thought it was kind of weird. I mean, what's all this about oil and some guy's beard? Sounded kind of nasty to me. But I figured it out. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus 30:22 tells us that then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels, of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil, and make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil." And later on it tells us, "Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests." All right? So that's what it's talking about. To the Jews, this image would have evoked the thought of consecration to serve as priests. Also, as you can see from the ingredients, a very aromatic oil, a very pleasant fragrance, and smells, psychologists tell us, can evoke very happy memories. You can relate to that with food. I can, anyway. Anointing was also very common in Jewish festivals, family celebrations, so it could have also evoked a very joyous image. And I mention these things because these are kind of themes that I would like for us to explore in this study, for you to examine yourself. You know, how do you feel about coming together with your brothers and sisters to worship or for any other purpose? Is it good and pleasant, or has it become a religious routine, a chore perhaps, God forbid? How valuable is it to you to have unity in the church? And this whole idea of consecration is very related. I mean, these, you know, none of us are priests in the ritualistic Old Covenant sense of the word, although we are a holy priesthood according to the Scriptures. But these Old Testament rituals had a purpose that we should learn from. The whole idea of preparation for worship. You know, Richard and the elders have taught us a lot about that in the last several years. One from the practical side, you know, going to bed early, waking up early, being on time. What these things communicate to God about your attitude about worshiping Him. And then there's, of course, the spiritual, the emotional preparation. That you're excited, you can't wait to worship God, you want to give your heart, you want to participate and not just sit there. You want to learn, and you desire to see your spiritual family that's here as well. All those things are very important. The word ascents, song of ascents that the superscripts says here, the Hebrew word is ma'ala. Not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But in the Spanish NIV, it's translated peregrinos, which means pilgrims, and we're going to talk about that. But it's a word that's actually found throughout the Old Testament, except it's usually translated steps, as in stairs that you go up. It can also refer to a higher elevation. And some believe the usage here refers to some sort of climactic progression in the musical sense. Could be, but most believe that these were songs that were sung as people went up to Jerusalem, and hence the idea of the pilgrimage songs. And that's a category that sometimes people use. The songs of ascent will be a subset. There are other psalms that are considered pilgrimage songs. And the content in these songs certainly supports the idea that they were pilgrimage songs, that they were sung as people were on a journey to Jerusalem. Keep your place there and look in Psalms 84. I want to show you another example of a pilgrimage song. Psalm 84. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." I love that psalm. Verse 5 talks about pilgrimage. More literally, would probably be translated in "whose heart are the highways." But, you know, you can certainly imagine the idea of singing this song on a journey and on the road to Jerusalem. There were three primary Jewish festivals, and we see these in Exodus and Leviticus, both in chapter 23 and other places, actually. They were the Passover, also known sometimes as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to celebrate deliverance from Egypt. The Pentecost, also the Feast of Weeks, to express gratitude for the harvest. And the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, which was the end of the harvest, also gratitude for that, and remembering the desert period as well. And that, actually, the seventh month in the Jewish calendar was actually a big festive month, started with the Feast of Trumpets, then a few days later it was the Feast of Booths, and then it was also combined with the Day of Atonement. So perhaps it was kind of similar to our Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year period, if you want to try to relate a little bit to that period there. But they were required to assemble those three festivals. And, you know, you can remember in Acts chapter 2, there were Jews at Pentecost from all over the world at Jerusalem. That was the idea there. And for most, it took many days to get there. Many made the journey by foot. We had a Spanish Bible talk on Friday, and Venus Parker just returned from Honduras, and she was telling us the story of this family in the church in Honduras there that lives very far from the church. And their journey starts on Friday to get to San Pedro Sula, which is the city where the church is. And they do this every week. They start the journey on Friday, and they get there on Sunday before everybody else. They're the first ones to get there. That's incredible. And, you know, just an incredible example to us, but certainly to their family about their dedication to God. But, you know, we should also be grateful for what we have. Just the resources and everything like that. But our convenience can sometimes be a detriment. I mean, it's easy to just get in a car, and it takes us, most of us, just a few minutes to get to church. You know, and even if it takes you longer, the few of us that maybe it takes you an hour or something like that, I mean, relatively speaking, that's nothing, right? But that can make it sometimes become somewhat of a routine, somewhat of a religious thing that we just do, and it, you know, it just, if we're not careful, it can stop meaning what it's supposed to. And I think the fact that it was such a big deal for them, these festivals, I mean, it required preparation way ahead of time, dedication certainly, and it just made it important. And, you know, it was a way to realize how important celebrating God is. And, you know, there's definitely a lesson there for us. But I can imagine them using songs to keep their minds on celebrating God during the journey, to keep their mind on their destiny of Jerusalem. A lot of these songs sing of Jerusalem itself, and keep their mind away from the hardships of the journey and make it kind of a fun thing instead of something that was a difficulty or whatever. And there's certainly a lot of things that we can do practically as well in that way. And I can imagine them traveling in groups and singing together, sort of like a church service on the way to the main church service, before the main celebration. And look at what it says, verse 1, how lovely is your dwelling place. Verse 2, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Verse 10, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. I mean, it's just a great song. You know, years ago, this song reminded me of it, but I just stopped listening to the radio on the way to church. I used to do that. Just the habit. If I get in the car, the radio's on. Now it bugs me. I mean, I really can't do it, at least not on the way to church. It just feels wrong. You know, like, I'm on the way to church and I'm just feeding my brain the world. That just doesn't feel right anymore. And I just prefer to sing or pray or both. I was singing Be With Me, Lord, this morning. I do that often when I'm speaking. But also on my way to work, if I have a big day of work or something like that, I just like that song. And it's kind of a song and a prayer. So, you know, praying for God to be with me. And that way I get to begin my worship early and set my heart and my mind on God and not on the world. And that's, I recommend it. It's something you can instill in your family. I mean, think of the lesson for the kids. You know, the Jewish kids specifically here, as they traveled on that journey and they sang these songs together and they experienced that. And if they're like any of our kids, they would probably ask, hey, why are we doing this, you know, big journey 3 times a year? And, you know, it was an opportunity for their parents to teach them about God and why they celebrate these festivals. Their gratitude and every, you know, the remembrance and all those things. Just great principles. Now, you know, I don't get to do that myself very much. I usually drive by myself because I serve with, you know, the translation equipment and sound and, you know, the recording and things like that. And that takes some setup. And a lot of us do that as well. You know, musicians, ushers, communion trays, sound, definitely, teachers. Something Alan Rouse told me a while back that really helped me with this is the idea of not seeing even that as a chore, but as part of your worship. You're serving to worship God. That is part of your worship to God. And it helps to think about it that way. And it helps to not feel, you know, sometimes deprived of the worship feeling, if you will, of, no, I'm serving, I'm worshiping God while I'm doing this. And that certainly helped me. But let's look in Psalm 122, back to the Songs of Ascents here. Psalm 122. It says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your prosperity. Now, this one was probably written and sung after the trip to Jerusalem, perhaps. Certainly says rejoiced in the past tense. And the song describes the experience of the journey with the tribes going up to Jerusalem to praise. It describes the city, and it prays for its peace and protection. And of course, we were talking about preparation for church and singing and praying before church. But you know, this is a good practice as well, after church. Celebrating a great service. Speaking to your family about what they thought about it. Asking your kids about it, what they learned, what you learned. Praying together about the prayer requests. Do we take those seriously, by the way? You know, praying for the church, praying about the building, you know, that's something that we're still working on. Praying for the leadership, praying for each other. It's a great thing to do after church as well. I hope you understand the general mindset here. We're talking about participating, about really, it's an active experience that we're talking about. I think this society messes us up sometimes. The whole TV culture, where we watch so many shows and movies and things like that, and I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, although it can be. But I think it does create a culture of a selfish culture of just sitting there and just entertain me. You know, and you know, there's no giving involved in that. No thinking, no creativity, nothing. And you know, that's another sermon for another time. But I mention it because I think we can bring that spiritually to the church as well, that whole mentality of, you know, I'm here to be entertained. And, you know, the music better be good. Now, I happen to know, sometimes I participate in it, that we have people that work really hard to make the music great and just helpful to our worship service, and that certainly helps, and that's great. But what if you were in a small church in another country that, you know, just had a few people and it didn't have the talent that we have, musically speaking? Would you not still worship God with all your heart then? And, you know, the same applies to everything else. I mean, the fellowship. We're talking about just an active where you're preparing, you're thinking about somebody that you might want to talk to during fellowship, somebody you want to encourage, you're thinking about sharing something that you learned in your quiet times, and, you know, you're just thinking about how God is working in your life and you want to thank Him for it. It's all just being active and truly worshiping God, which should be an active thing, should be a participative kind of a thing, and not sitting and receiving and just what can I get out of it, but what can I give, and how can I really express my love for God, my gratitude, and all those things. Look at Psalm 130. I want us to look at a few of these and really just see some of the different mindsets and thoughts that we should be bringing to God and bringing to church, perhaps. Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And there's that phrase, unfailing love, again. But, you know, sometimes when we come to church, we feel especially in need of mercy. Of course, we're always in need of mercy, but sometimes we feel that way more strongly, right? Perhaps you've sinned. You need God's forgiveness. You feel contrite. Perhaps you're in distress over certain situations. We talked about all these things in the class about the laments extensively. And I only bring it up again because, you know, a lot of times I get a chuckle out of this, but we hear, you know, that perhaps during the welcome or whatever, the idea of, hey, you know, leave your week at the door. Leave whatever happened this week, just check it at the door. And while I understand and agree with the idea of focusing on God and not allowing yourself to be distracted from that, that's awesome. But I don't know that we should necessarily switch off our minds from what's going on in our lives when we come to church. In fact, I don't think it's possible. So I know I'm being a bit of a contrarian here, but I think we should bring these things to God, okay? I mean, for example, communion is a great time for reflection and decisions of repentance. So if you've sinned, that's, you bring it to God and you pray to God and you express to God your decision to repent and how you want to change. And perhaps you talk to some of your brothers and sisters about it after church. All right? I mean, certainly as we sing and as we pray, you can think about the situation you might find yourselves in, the difficulty that you're in, and you can pray internally about that. And it makes it more personal to you as you're praying, as you're singing. You know, you're putting your own self into it, your own heart. You could ask others to pray for you about those things during the time of fellowship. And certainly you can learn something in the sermon that applies specifically, that helps you in what you're going through at the time, right? So, I don't know, you know, a different way to think about it. And all of that is in the spirit of trusting in His unfailing love that we've been talking about, of putting our hope in Him and His Word, like it says here, and of being sure of His forgiveness of our sins. I mean, talk about that being priceless, where you're certain of that. and you're grateful and you express that to God. Even when you're at your worst, you can be grateful, you can be sure that He'll forgive you, and you can be sure that He'll help you with the repentance and that you're gonna get to the other side and be better and grow from it. And all those things, you know, worship should help us with all of that. And it's all about our mindset and the participation and the attitude that we bring and how we prepare ahead of time for it. I think the more we put into it, the more we're going to get out. It's like anything else. And so I hope that point is coming across. I don't really have like a set of points like I did last week. That is the point. All right. Psalm 127. Let's read this one here. See, it's pretty easy today because you just kind of get to stay in the same neighborhood. Except for Psalm 84. You have to turn like 20 pages for that one. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. This is a song of gratitude. And that's certainly one of the main thoughts we should be bringing to the house of God. Now notice, if you read the superscript there, it says not only a song of ascent, but it says that Solomon wrote this one, which is significant because he was responsible for building the temple. Yet he recognizes that without God's blessing, all the material stuff that they did, all the work, was meaningless. I mean, a hurricane could have come through and it would have been all wasted. I mean, just so many things could have happened without God's blessing. And certainly that's true of us as well. Without God's blessing, you could work, you could get up early, you could go to work, and it can all just come crashing down. And our efforts be in vain. And so I think a big thing is that when we come together, we come together to recognize God's blessings and to express our appreciation, our gratitude for those things. And I definitely think it's a great idea to think about that before you get here, so that you're in the right mindset to express that, and it'll really be heartfelt when you sing those songs and when you pray and do all that. And you can share that with others as well. The psalm recognizes, you know, the financial, whatever, material, and acknowledges that any wealth we receive is from God and not really from our own efforts or talents or whatever. But something that I think is kind of cool, and actually the book The Quiver by Douglas Jacoby, is that he takes it from this psalm here about the man whose quiver is full of sons, you know, because it recognizes that's more like a true blessing. I mean, you know, the material stuff, yeah, it's a blessing, but, you know, the family, that's a much bigger blessing from God, right? I mean, and it recognizes that this is much bigger than any material thing. I mean, you know, can you put a price on your kids, on your parents, on your siblings, whatever? You know, you just can't. It's much greater. It's true wealth from God is what I read this to be saying. And certainly we can talk about our spiritual blessings also being priceless. I mean, if you sat down to really start making a list, and I don't want to say too much more about that because week 13 is Thanksgiving Psalms. But we're talking about our mindset when we come to church, when we worship God, and how we approach God, and how we prepare for that. And gratitude should be a huge part of that. Look in the next psalm, 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. A lot of similar thoughts as Psalm 27 that we just read. The idea that God is with us when we meet and that we seek God's blessing. And, you know, that's a good thing to do. And also that we pray for the blessing of your brothers and sisters. And we talked about prayer requests, taking those seriously and praying for the people that request it. I think that's very important. Psalm 121. Almost read the wrong one here. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Another great song. And it certainly makes sense from the standpoint of a pilgrim to pray for God's protection. I mean, it's a long journey. There may be, you know, robbers or something along the way, dangers. You know, just the fatigue of it, you know, you might just pray for God's protection of your health and all those things. But certainly a good thing for us to do as well. And I hear a lot of us do that, like just when we close the service, we pray for God to protect us on the way home. And I mean, certainly something could happen. Car accidents happen all the time. But I think it's just in general, not just from protection on the way, but in general, a good thing to bring before God. The idea that God protects us and that we both are grateful for that and that we pray for that to continue. God protects us from harm, from illness. We pray for protection for our families, for our spiritual well-being and theirs, for each other again. And we recognize that He has protected us, like it does here, and that He has helped us. Often in ways we don't even realize. And it's a good thing to express to your God. Look in Psalm 126. It's kind of cool that they're so short because we can cover a lot of them. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. We probably recognize this psalm. We sing a modernized version of it, Men Who Dream. Is Diane here? Oh, she probably forgot about it. She was going to help us sing this song, but maybe Peter can help us by himself or something. Yeah. But, you know, it's a remembrance of return from captivity that we read in Ezra and Nehemiah. And again, just like with the festivals, we just see the importance of remembering what God has done for us. We do that in communion, certainly. I hope we do. individually as well as collectively. The importance of remembering your own conversion, the key turning points in your conversion, and in other times, key spiritual events in your life, happy events or maybe some difficult ones as well. Perhaps some of us could write songs about that. I don't think I have that in me, but maybe I do. But, you know, singing helps you remember for sure. And, you know, it says our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. I mean, that laughter and that joy, they remember that. They, you know, this probably was sung hundreds of years after the captivity was over, but they still remember that time, and they look fondly upon it, and we're grateful for it. And I just visualized them singing this song on the way to Jerusalem. That would have been pretty cool. Just remembering as they're doing their own journey, remembering that particular journey back from Babylon to Jerusalem. And it motivated them to dream about what God could do with their lives. And it talks about the willingness to sow in tears. The faith that it would lead to songs of joy. So I don't know, we want to try this? Somebody can help sing with the first part or something, I don't know. There you go. So let's sing this song together and just think about your own deliverance from captivity and let it motivate you to dream and be willing to sacrifice for God.
Came back into Zion from their freedom, came as king, while the city it lay in ruins, we became, they had a dream. When our songs were like the desert, and we stumbled on the stream, and found revival in the water, we became like men who dream. And yes, our mouths were filled with laughter, and our songs rush like the stream, where we washed our sorrows under, we became like men who dream. It shall be said among the nations, there's a God who shares our dream. The Spirit moves our generation, shed our tears and fill the stream. Men who dream, we are shedding tears that flood the thirsty waters. Men who dream, we are planting seeds of men.
We have another verse. We got to keep going.
So God has done great things among us. In every eye now shines a gleam. A spark of light reveals the wonder. We became like men who dream. It shall be said among the nations, there's a God who shares our dream. The Spirit moves our generation, shed your tears and fill the stream. Men who dream, we are shedding tears.
thirsty waters men who dream. We are planting seeds of men who dream. So let us go into the nations, plunging souls into that stream, and singing songs that fill the angels. We became the men who dream.
Amen.
Not bad, guys.
We're running late. I hope that helped you in your mindsets. Next week, historical Psalms. Read Psalm 78 as homework. Get your kids quickly and come back. Thank you.